Get real advice from renowned experts and entrepreneurs on today's business leaders. Here's your host, Gabe Arnold.
All right. On today's show, I have Andrew Kapp, and he is the author of the Last Law of Attraction book. And so we're going to talk about that. And obviously, he's got it back there in the background. And I am super glad to have you in here, Andrew.
Gabe, I'm pumped to be here, man. Thanks so much for having me. And what I know about you, I know this is going to be a really awesome, insightful conversation. So thanks in advance for whatever stuff you pull out of me. I'm excited to go as deep as you want to go.
Awesome. Thank you. So I always like to start out and ask people about where they started. So talk to me about when you first realized you're an entrepreneur. I kind of some of the notes you sent over, I can see we have some similar stories business-wise. But talk to me about when did you first realize that you wanted to be entrepreneurial?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I don't even remember how much I put in the stuff that I sent you, but I realized pretty early on, like within a year of leaving college, because I grew up around, you know, with family members saying, you know, you work for a company for like 40, 50 years, they'll take care of you. And I remember graduating and around that time, just seeing so much evidence that that is not always necessarily the case. And I came to the quick conclusion that, okay, well, who is going to have my back? Who's going to be loyal to me? So far, every day I've looked in the mirror, that guy's been pretty loyal. So rather than take a chance of hoping for a company that I really, because by the way, if I know for sure the company's going to back me up, I could be there for 50 years. But rather than bank on something of uncertainty, let me at least do the uncertain thing where at least I know the person's in my corner. So probably within 10 years of graduating college, I started my first business. It was art production. I was trying to get a comic strip into syndication of all things. And there's been a lot of ups and downs. That first business definitely did not go the way I wanted to, but it was probably one of the best learning experiences I could have had in my life.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's funny. I mean, I generally only have entrepreneurs on. On occasion, I bring in other people, but it's so funny to me to hear what you just said. And I've heard it for my entire life too. Like, you need to get a real job and like you need security. And I'm like, in what world do you think that there's actual job security in today's world? I think honestly, maybe, you know, if you started working in the 40s or 50s or 60s, or maybe even the 70s, I don't know, beyond that, like if that's when you started working, that you could legitimately have a 20 or 30 or 40 year career with a company. And it was a realistic expectation to be taken care of and have retirement, and like you could work there for a long time. But beyond that, I don't know, like that's not a real thing anymore. So it's just funny how as humans, we really hold on to saying, oh, you know, this is still secure. When, and even that, like, even though there was more, that was more common. And like, my brother has somebody working for him that worked for my grandfather who started the company. And I think he's worked there 45 years now, which is just unheard of. Mm-hmm. But he's retiring next year, I believe. But even that, like you still, the odds of you not getting fired randomly or layoff or merger or something changing, even from that generation, I just find to be interesting. But yeah, entrepreneurship is way, way more secure than anything else in my book. So,
yeah. I mean, everything's got its, you know, its peaks and its valleys. But I also think, like, you know, generations ago, the country here in the States, it was, and the world in general, was just constructed differently. And it's just, it's a different thing where the safer bet, whether it's you or someone else, the safer bet is certainly in the understanding that unless you're a teacher and you're getting tenure, or you're in that profession where there is a certain thing built in and they're still going in a pension route, mm-hmm. you can't really hang your hat on something else because you don't know if someone's going to get bought out. Like you're talking about the private sector. There's just too much unpredictability there.
Yeah. Maybe if you're a government contractor or a politician, these things don't apply. But so yeah, I definitely think that's it's interesting to see that. And the other thing I think that's interesting around entrepreneurship is I think it has a correlation to where our world economy overall is moving, especially the economy in the States, of like, we're a knowledge worker economy in the States, at least now on the whole. And I don't think people understand that or pay attention to that. And so it just has changed everything. Like the more you know, and the more experience you have, the more you can apply your knowledge, and the more rapidly you can learn and adapt, that's what makes you valuable and successful. And that's like entrepreneurship 101. I think entrepreneurship is super popular right now. Just, I think it's trendy, but I also think it's becoming more mainstream beyond being trendy, because I think the market's just shifting.
Yeah. And it's interesting because this year in particular, I mean, I don't think even people that are successful, they wouldn't say they enjoyed the way things broke down. But mm-hmm. I do find that entrepreneurs on the whole have been able to pivot way more easily and way more effectively in the challenges of this year and even thrive. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, other people in a regular job, you know, not to their own fault, but just by the way things play out, just didn't have the same opportunity because it's not like they can ask for a raise when their company is bleeding money or anything like that.
Right.
Whereas an entrepreneur in many ways are already always trying to find a better way to reach their customer and a better way to make impact. And they're in pivot mode anyway. So not that this was a pleasurable thing, but it's nothing new in the sense that, okay, it's adjustment time.
Yeah.
Let's see what we're going to do today now.
Yeah. And I think it's from a whole being standpoint. I wasn't going to say mental, but that's not 100% accurate. A lot of it's mental, but as a whole person, as an entrepreneur, you have learned how to withstand an immense amount of pressure and pain. And you've hopefully also learned how to withstand a bunch of success, which is a different kind of pressure. And so being able to really expand across that whole spectrum is what makes it easy to adapt. Where if anybody, regardless of what title you give yourself, if you get too single channel or too used to what you're doing every day, then you can get knocked out of that channel pretty easily and be in trouble, right? It can be harder to find success, I think.
Yeah. And regarding the, you know, expecting or being ready for changes and also success, I mean, even talking about like the book and the law of attraction, I believe being an entrepreneur has helped me be more comfortable in my skin in the sense of keeping up with the methods that I teach, just the way I think a weight loss expert being an entrepreneur has a better grip on making their own habits, whether they're working out, whether they're doing diet, whatever it might be. I think mm-hmm. entrepreneurs who expect the adversity really, and it's a part of their life. Again, I don't call them better than anyone else, but they're just more used to this adversity. Therefore, they do it just the way an athlete is used to putting stress on their joints in the way most people can't, which is why they're so explosive when they've got to catch that ball or make that play.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say adversity is a great gift if you use it. So
yeah.
I think it's always super interesting and timely, like how the universe works and how attraction works and all the things that we're going to dive into here, because this has been probably one of my biggest focus subjects of the year, is like really moving into attracting what I want. And so I'd like to do two things. One, give us kind of like this, from losing your first business in your 20s, can you give us the quick catch up from there to deciding to write the book? And then let's dive into what you talk about, because I dabbled a little bit in your YouTube channel, really liked what I saw there. Like, you're a super practical guy. I'm already liking what I've seen, but just tell me about kind of how you, what the history was, and then how you got into writing the book.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, by the time things went downhill, and when I say downhill, I mean me losing my first business and my girlfriend of 3 years all in the same week, where she broke up over text, which was nice. At that point, I already knew about law of attraction, but it was kind of like stop and start. I never went all in. And from that place of just being totally dejected and totally out of it, knowing that it kind of works sometimes, I just got really stubborn and really indignant. And I said to myself, I don't care how this works, when it works, why it works. I've got nothing else going on and my heart's broken. I'm going to go all in. And what I mean by all in is I'm not going to do this all day, every day. I'm going to do 5 or 10 minutes every day. I'm going to do something that I know I can be consistent with. And I believe it's law of attraction, but I can't really attribute what the answer is. But I'll tell you, within 2 weeks, I felt better, which was saying a lot when you have a broken heart. Yeah. 3 months later, I'm in a better, healthier relationship. 4 months later, I'm making more money than at every point in my life before then. And 6 months later, everything's different. I'm in the best shape of my life. Like, everything is working on all cylinders. And, you know, I didn't decide to write the book until like last year. And it was really this thing where I got to the point where this was always in my head. And I was always in a place of comfort, realizing that if you're just consistent, it will work, whether it's law of attraction or not. I finally got to the point where I wanted to do a new project in my new company. And I had to ask myself, what can I actually be passionate about, where if somebody emails me a question, I won't be bored and it won't be a chore to reply to them? Like, I can actually be of service, because I think sometimes people will do a business to make money, not realizing that once the customer becomes an inconvenience, they're in a bad place. Like, I wanted my customers to be a joy to me. So the decision to write the book, and as you can see, it's like practical, is because I wanted to be that person that gave people a practical way to apply this. Whereas other law of attraction books described the law of attraction and they gave the methods, I just wanted to give people a new vantage point and a new excuse for themselves to use the techniques, whether you believe it or not, long enough to get a result. And then they wouldn't learn from the book. They would learn from their life experience. And then they would have something that money could not buy.
So it's like the field guide for law of attraction. It's not just theory and all the things that are good to know, obviously, but it's actually how to apply it daily, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, in many ways, I almost wrote the book like a copywriter. It's meant to get you just out of your own way long enough to try it. And if it doesn't work, well, I mean, I think it will work, but if it doesn't work, at the very least, the process that you undertook to try to make it work was engaging in gratitude and scripting and visualization. In other words, engaging in these moments of time, 5 or 10 minutes, where at least you felt good. At least you were relieving anxiety. At least you were relieving stress. At least you were thinking about something positive. So even if didn't work, you were still engaging in a healthy process. Like that wasn't worrying about your life, worrying about your spouse, worrying about your money, worrying about anything else. You gave yourself a break. And that's what I think is the beauty of these techniques, 5 or 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of the heavy lifting, even while you shouldn't, but even if you worry about things other points of the day, at least you've given yourself that opportunity to just like feel gratitude, which, you know, gratitude is in and of itself, you know, a trendy term in law of attraction. People don't really understand how powerful it is. It's like, oh, be grateful. It can have a profound impact on your life, both in the moment and following those moments.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. It's amazing how if you, I have not read your book yet, but I will be to be clear, but, I think for me, like just when you just choose gratitude, and it sounds like part of your book is choosing it consistently, everything shifts super fast.
Yes.
And it's crazy. Like it's unexplainable when you're grateful for, you know, what you have and grateful for what you are going to have, then it's just so much better. And I have Asperger's. And so I've noticed I can tell when I'm thinking about things. And I can tell the brain paths that they're going down. So like right now I feel my thinking here. There's certain things when I'm doing super technological stuff, I can feel it here. But when I'm like actually meditating and in total calm state, you know, and meditating for a while, I can feel things reworking in my brain. Wow. And I know that's how it actually works too, but like I can sensationally feel it. And what I try to tell people is like, your brain just does what your brain says to do. And it's this recursive forever until you shift it. And so if you focus on the positive, then you will be happy. And it's like, and then if you're happy, then, and this is just my practical understanding, because I don't think I have the level of understanding experience that you do in attraction, but it's just funny how by a single shift we can rewrite our whole life, because our life is just our perspective on what we're experiencing, right?
Yes.
And so I am such a newbie to attraction, you know, at understanding what it is and then applying it consistently. But I've been working on it and wanting to learn more about it. And of course, you know, we connected and you get to come on my show, which is really how it works, which is bizarre to me, even though I experienced it, it's still very bizarre and very cool.
And I'll tell you, the funny thing is I was pulled to, you know, like apply, you know, to go through your process. Knowing that you were more, even though I am an entrepreneur, knowing they were more about like, you know, I assume you'd be talking about sales and marketing and things like that. And I'm like, no, wait, maybe, listen, I'll write this out and maybe it's up Gabe's alley. And like, I was just pulled in that direction. I wasn't like, oh, this is the exact fit and this person's going to want me no matter what.
Yeah.
I was pulled to do that. You were going that direction. And I think it's one of those things that we can't explain. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, and I know I'm going to share this interview with my own audience. And what I'm about to say, they're probably going to hate to hear, because every single interview I say this now, but it's such a really important point to make, especially for people that haven't heard this before. A great way to explain like the power of the law of attraction is actually to talk about working out, lifting weights to get muscles. And I know that's a very oversimplified way of putting it, but you know, you lift weights and you get muscles, right? Yeah. Now I've got two possible explanations I want to throw at you as to how or why that happens. Explanation number one is you lift weights and you go to sleep that night, and while you're sleeping, the muscle fairy comes and gives you muscles. Explanation number two is when you're lifting weights, you're putting so much stress on your muscles that they are literally tearing in minor areas. And then what your body does is it heals by filling in those tears with more muscle fiber. And if I was going to ask somebody, like, what do you think is a true answer? They would probably lean in that second one.
Right.
But my answer is, it doesn't matter the answer. All that matters is you lift weights, you get muscles. You put an X, you get Y. you do law of attraction methods, and by hook or by crook, whether it's the law of attraction or whether it's the power of your subconscious mind or whether it's something we have yet to explain in our world, you get those results that you want. And it's so surreal. And some people, it might happen and they're like, there's no way it could be law of attraction. And I tell them, that's okay, as long as you're still doing the methods. You don't have to believe in this. You don't have to believe in my book. Just do this for yourself and the results will speak for themselves.
Yeah. And I, as you're saying that, it makes me think of like how, like I have 11 nieces and nephews. And the younger ones right now are like from 2 to 4 years old and they're kids. And so they just believe whatever you tell them and mm-hmm. they do it. And I think that sometimes we get too far ahead of ourselves and we try to intellectually figure every single thing out when really we just need to believe and trust the process and go with what works.
Yes.
Rachel, my partner, shared something with me over the weekend from Sadhguru, I think. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. But he shares in this little video about how he raised his daughter and that he really just wanted her to know, like, just view the world as it is. And stop trying to overcomplicate it or think beyond what you see or like over engineer things, which is a good message for me because sometimes I get too far down that direction. And what you're sharing is like, it just works. Like, you're totally right. It doesn't actually matter how your muscles grow. For the general public, right? If you want bigger muscles, yeah, do this. And like, you can pretend whatever the solution is. And I think it's okay sometimes to just believe like that and believe in fairy tales in the sense of like, we don't have to have it all figured out to know that it works. And I'm really glad you shared that because I think that's just a super important message of like, if it works, it works. Don't screw it up.
Well, I mean, the how or the why has a certain value in certain situations, but for the purposes of us and what we're doing here, it doesn't. And if I can make one more point, you mentioned your nieces and nephews. How often do you see them?
Every week or two, pretty frequently.
Okay. So for you, you're a different situation because other people, they have nieces and nephews that they see once every 6 months or once every year or whatever, right? And I'm sure you could relate to the fact, even though you see your nieces and nephews on a regular basis, if you had not, when you did see them, one thing you would tell them is like, wow, you've gotten so big. Like everyone could relate to that, right?
Yep.
And the reason that you are saying that is because you're not with them every single day and you don't see the little incremental improvements. You see the big thing. And that's actually another thing about the law of attraction. People are looking for the big thing without realizing by doing the gratitude exercises and by doing scripting and by doing visualization, it's these incremental little things that add up where if somebody sees you a year later, they're blown away versus seeing you the next day. And I think there's something really to be said of like, just do this every single day. Some of the stuff you will notice, some of it will be more dramatic, but some of it will be so subtle that it has to add up, like working out every day. You don't become, to use a really outdated person, you don't become Arnold Schwarzenegger overnight. It's a gradual process. And at some point, obviously your body, you know, speeds up. There's a momentum there and that momentum is very valuable. But in the beginning, it's always going to feel like an uphill battle unless you're doing the methods for the sake of just enjoying them, regardless of the how, the why, and the when, your results are going to come.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you just said too, about, on a lot of fronts, like, don't focus too far down the road. Start to really enjoy what you're in the middle of, and then you'll get benefit from it regardless. And that's entrepreneurship and life and growing and personal development. I think on a lot of fronts, that's valuable because we do, in an instant gratification world that we, at least we think it is, I don't know if it actually is, but we tend to think like, oh, if I just, you know, do this, if I do this now, then I'll get the result right now. Just like, it's just like clicking a button. And nothing like that actually creates sustainable happiness or wealth or results in my experience. Anything that happened quickly ends quickly and unexpectedly too.
Yeah. And everything's relative, by the way. Like, I mean, take my YouTube channel. I've got 900 subscribers. I want 1 million. Mm-hmm. If I'm looking at that 900 and saying it's not 1 million, I'm in the wrong mindset. Like those are not, well, I'm close to 900 people, close to 900. Those are each a human being who liked my content enough to click the subscribe button. Like what a thing to focus on. What a thing to be grateful for. And also, I mean, I really started really putting effort behind the channel in July. So that's really fit. Like some YouTubers will go like 3 years before they even get 100 subscribers. So it's all relative. And no matter whether you got 10, 100, 1 million, the key really is to be, you know, have gratitude for them, because if nothing else, I'm going to make way better content if I actually do care about the people and not see the number as like too low or beneath me, because that's ridiculous. One subscriber clicking like yes, that in and of itself is a huge thing, because that's one human being who could have so many other things that they can do, whether they're watching this Facebook Live for you or they're listening to podcasts or my YouTube channel. They could be doing anything else with their life and they're choosing to spend that time and energy and focus on you. What a gift. And again, I mean, I don't use it as a technique, but I guarantee you the fact that I am grateful for it probably helps speed things up for me by hook or by crook, even though I can't manually manipulate it. It just works out for me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, you're totally right. And speaking to like one person in your audience, like from your heart, or like with that level of intention is the game changer, because we can all tell when we get the fake, I don't care messages or videos or emails that really aren't with that intention. It's instantly something that people pick up. What do you think? Because I feel like you practice more than me. And on that topic, when you think about like when something lands from like in the written word or video or a message, and when it doesn't, I can write the exact same phrase, and it depends with my intention and how it lands. How does that work? Do you have any insight into that?
I think this is like probably the most annoying answer, because it doesn't technically help anyone. Okay. But I think it's about like getting in the zone and doing what you do. Like for me, the written word, like this book, I went over probably 7 to 10 times with a fine tooth comb after writing it, because I wanted to tweak and make sure that every sentence had an intentionality that it really clicked, because I wanted to articulate it better than any book in the history of Law of Attraction books. Mm-hmm. With the YouTube channel, for the first couple of videos, I scripted them just to make sure I was doing well, but I didn't feel like I came off naturally on camera. So now all the videos I do, I have a rough idea and I just talk. And Gabe, I've accepted the fact that when I talk into that YouTube channel, into that camera, it's not going to be perfectly worded the way the book is, but hopefully it will come with a certain energy and a certain authenticity and just a certain something that you can't really describe that's going to land. I think when you have the opportunity to tweak something, go for it. But when you don't, just by like being your full authentic self, even if those first iterations aren't good, you're going to grow into who you are as a communicator, and you'll find it being a lot more effortless as you go on. So part of it's just trying to be as true and raw consistently as possible, almost accepting, like, I accept that my first couple videos will suck. I thought my camera angles are horrible. I thought the lighting's horrible. Let me just get out there, because if I don't get those videos out there, which hopefully they're good in some level, I'm never going to get to better videos anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's good advice too. And obviously, if you want to see really bad video, go way back in my feed. You'll see how rough it is. And I said, get your first 10 out of the way, and then get your first 50, and then your first 100 out of the way. And eventually it'll be normal to you. And then you can operate from like your true self, like you're saying, because otherwise, if we're new at a skill or new in some arena, I think we just get tripped up with not knowing the tech or the process there's all these barriers that are real and created. And then we don't just speak openly and honestly. And so I think that's good advice.
Yeah. Thank you.
What do you think in the book that I will be reading here very soon? I'm really excited that we got to come together on this. What do you think are just like a couple like standout pieces that you really enjoyed writing and that you've heard people go, oh, that was what really moved me forward? I'd love to hear those kind of stories.
Right. Well, there's one piece. I mean, I'll kind of like give this part away. I think I explain the way the mind works in a way that helps people understand why they've been getting in their own way. And when I shine this light, many people report back that it gave them new perspective. So I guess we'll call this a spoiler alert. Like one piece that I explain, and by the way, I realize I'm not a doctor, and I realize these terms have different definitions and different meanings in different contexts. But I think we have three minds. We've got the conscious, we've got the subconscious, and in the middle, we've got the ego. Now, the ego is stronger than this conscious mind, but the subconscious mind is stronger than everything. And the ego itself only has one job in your life, and that's to keep you alive. And all your ego knows right now is that you are alive, meaning your money problems, your relationship problems, your health, whatever they are, all the ego knows is you're alive, and it doesn't want to risk what might happen if you improve it, which is another way of saying change it. Because according to the ego, what if you become rich and famous like you want to, but there's a stalker waiting for you? That's a threat to your survival. What if you get all that money that you want, you win the lotto, and family starts coming out of the woodwork trying to tear you apart? that's a threat to your survival. Like, all your ego doesn't care about your comfort or your fulfillment or your life satisfaction or anything. It just, and by the way, it loves you. This is a misguided attempt to keep you alive. So that fear that you feel, that doubt that you feel, that, oh, I've got to do this technique perfectly rather than just doing it, that's your ego whispering in your ear like the devil over your shoulder, because it wants to trip you up, because it wants to keep you exactly where you are. And when you realize that, when you understand that it's out of love, but that's where this fear and uncertainty comes from, you can do the methods for the sake of enjoying them. That way the ego can't talk you out of them. And those methods in and of themselves bypass the ego, access the subconscious mind, which then does the heavy lifting for you. So it's about all about understanding why you haven't been doing it daily to begin with, finding a way to enjoy it. And then through that enjoyment, the ego can't really stop you as easily, at least, because this isn't a chore for you. It's not an obligation. It isn't something that you're screwing up. That's like the key point, message that I try to make in the book, so that when people try the methods and they have a little doubt, they realize, oh, it's just the ego. Let me follow through on this and just enjoy it and just see what happens. And if it doesn't work, at least I enjoy these the next 5 minutes for myself.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I've never heard the ego explained that way, and I would 100% agree with you. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And really interesting to realize. And I've also never heard it explained as like the ego is good and it loves you. And like, that's a great realization too, because I've in the past, and not so much at all now, unfortunately, but in the past, like any of those thoughts, before I really got into meditation and really started just learning about this stuff on the whole, like I used to judge myself for the judgmental thoughts I'd have about myself. And then you judge yourself. And it's like, it's a pretty fast, you know, dark spiral.
Yes.
And so I've gotten away from that, but I've never viewed ego in that sense, like from positivity. And I think that's a huge shift. I think that's excellent. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, man. And by the way, thank you, because the whole goal of sharing in that way, which I believe completely true, is it neutralizes it. It stops you from judging yourself in the same way and gives you just a little room. All I want is just that little crack in the door for you just to enjoy the mat. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Everything else like comes naturally. And I hope that my book and the methods I introduce, I explain them step by step and I give the reader permission to tweak it if they want. But as long as that part's clear, all I want to do is give them enough of an open doorway to try it and experience the results for themselves. And then they're on a new level where they can continue to make a decision to keep doing it or not doing it. But at least they're not lying to themselves. At least they're not confused as to why they're not doing it. At least there's not a lack of awareness that had been holding them back for maybe a year or even 20 years, depending on the person.
Yeah. Well, that's huge. I love that. When did you start getting into attraction and practicing this stuff? I know you just wrote the book, but how long have you been doing it now?
Yeah. I mean, I learned about Law of Attraction probably 2004, like probably 1 or 2 years before The Secret came out. I did it very haphazardly until 2008, where everything came crashing down. And again, then I had that, you know, 1 to 6 month period where I just did it and everything changed. And since then, I've had periods where I'm on fire and I'm just doing it, and other periods where I just trail off, which is okay, because I have this recognition, if I'm trailing off, that's on me and I can really make a comeback. And it's all about also tweaking your approach. Like, even though I do stuff for my book still every so often, the one thing that I do every single day without fail that's not even in the book is, I have a friend of mine, actually his message is waiting on my phone right now. We message each other every single day where we just record 1 to 5 minutes of things that we're grateful for. And the cool thing is, it's like, you don't even have to write it down if you don't like writing. It's easy, you just speak it, you say it, you know, sometimes it feels more impactful than other days. But the cool thing about this is, like, he's a friend. So there's a social pressure there. If I don't do this, if I don't do this thing that's advantageous to me, I'm letting him down. And yeah. Vice versa. And so we always have this thing where every day it's not a big deal to record it. And the cool thing is, sometimes he gets me first and sometimes I get him first, which is organic in the sense that, like, his message, I'm going to hear it. That's going to be part of my message back to him. I'm going to say, hey, I'm so glad about this happening for you and I'm grateful for this and da da da. Like, we impact each other even in the messages that we send on a daily basis. And it's built in this level of daily gratitude that I wouldn't have in any other sense.
That's incredible, man. What a great way to apply it all the time too. And like you said, put some good relational, you know, accountability and positive pressure in there. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
What do you think is the most surprising thing that you've manifested or attracted, or however you view that? Like, what was the fastest or most surprising thing that's happened for you?
Honestly, Gabe, the way the book has gone, like, you know, you put a book out there, like, I was very proud of the book. I'm very proud of I'm proud of the cover. Like, I designed it myself. I am proud about every single thing. But when I put it out, even though I was being intentional about inviting the right customers and the right readers, I had no idea that I would get like the emails that I get from people, like people talking about getting out of abusive relationships, people like really changing their lives through not like me, but through this content that they're using as an excuse to be themselves and get out of their own way. Like the biggest thing, the biggest manifestation, ironically enough, was the Law of Attraction book and the level of momentum that it's carried in this past year. And we're less than a month away from the 1 year anniversary. So like, it's got like 823 ratings on Amazon on the US side. It's like, it's just, it's like a beast. And I never thought that it would reach people in that way. So like, I'm filled with gratitude every single day for it.
That's amazing, man. How cool. And everybody listening and watching, you can go to lastlawofattractionbook.com, and I'll put that in the comments in the show notes. This has just been amazing, Andrew. I super, super appreciate you spending time here with us. And it's, like I said, it's, of course, you showed up and landed in my life because it's something that I've been attracting. And so it makes perfect sense. And I know for other people watching, that may sound weird or odd until you've done this stuff, but it really does work. And it, you don't have to understand it, which is honestly, that's what I like the most about what you've shared, Andrew, with me today and with the audience, is like, you don't have to know it all. You just be willing to try it, and it works how it works. And that's a relief to me too, because sometimes I can get in my own way and be too intellectual or too just try to figure out things when I don't need to. So I'm super looking forward to diving into it. And I'm sure we'll definitely have you back again soon. So thank you so much for being on the show. This has been amazing.
Okay. Thanks for having me in. I love your energy, and I love the way you ask these questions. It pulled a lot out of me, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate your audience.
Thank you so much, man.
This show is brought to you by Today's Business Leaders. Learn more at our website, todaysbusinessleaders.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today.